You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickard will be back with me on Monday. Coming up, we'll talk to a guest from a Milwaukee group focused on helping former prison inmates find jobs. First, homicides in Milwaukee have roughly tripled so far this year compared to the first 3 months of 2014. Some people say a bill in Madison to eliminate waiting periods for handgun purchases would only make things worse. But Governor Scott Walker says he backs that legislation. Chuck Kornbach has this update on gun violence in Wisconsin's largest city.
More than 30 people were murdered in Milwaukee during the first quarter of this year. Almost all were shot to death. It's been a busy time for some folks from Milwaukee inner-city congregations Allied for Hope, who hold sidewalk prayer vigils for the deceased.
God, as we gather this morning to remember Richard, to pray for him, to thank you for the 57 years that he had here.
On this March day, the group remembers 57-year-old Richard Harris, who police say was shot in the street outside his home. Harris's brother, Joseph, comes by unexpectedly and talks about his sibling.
I know one thing, he didn't bother no one, and he stayed with my mom. He helped people out.
Last year at this time, there were plenty of non-fatal shootings in Milwaukee, but the death toll was about a third of this year's number. Milwaukee Police Chief Ed Flynn has occasionally been in the media talking about the increase in murders. Last week, he was asked about it again, and whether any police officers dismayed by former officer Christopher Manny's failure to win his job back in the Dontre Hamilton case are up for the challenge on the streets.
Now, we're going to do our best to continue to provide them the training and the support and the tactics they need to be successful. But we recognize that we're facing a significant problem right now, and we are going to be committed to getting it under control.
Flynn says his officers have already seized about 520 guns from criminals this year, 100 more than last year at this time. In some of the more violent neighborhoods, a new violence prevention program is trying to get underway.
It ends now.
Come on now, brother.
And it starts right now.
Come on, brother.
That's all I have to say.
A coalition of Milwaukee churches, neighborhood groups, and community activists gather at a news conference to announce a safe zone initiative that aims to interrupt or head off potential violence. William Harris plans to be one of the so-called hood ambassadors. He says he used to be part of the problem and served time in prison.
But we're here now to put a stamp on this. If you don't believe us now, you will believe us, because we're here. We're here to make this happen. We're going to make this happen.
But even as some work for safe zones, there's concern that some state lawmakers and Governor Walker may take a step that would increase guns and gun violence in Milwaukee and elsewhere in the state. A bill partway through the legislature would eliminate the 48-hour waiting period to buy a handgun.
Bad news and bad thinking. I can't imagine why anyone would want to support that.
Milwaukee prayer vigil attendee Joyce Elwanger takes a dim view of doing away with a cooling off period to get a gun.
A lot of the incidents that we see are incidents of retaliation, instant retaliation and of anger, and of anger that could be dissipated before something as tragic as a life is taken.
But Governor Walker appears ready to sign the waiting period elimination bill if the measure reaches his desk, after maybe some tweaks to protect domestic violence victims. Walker says criminal background checks on gun buyers can now be done quickly.
We want to make it hard for criminals to get access to illegal guns, but make it convenient for law-abiding citizens to use a firearm.
In about 10 days, Walker and other possible GOP presidential candidates plan to speak at the National Rifle Association annual meeting in Tennessee. In Milwaukee, people are hoping April is not another bad month for gun homicides. Chuck Kornbach, Wisconsin Public Radio.
It can be hard for anyone to find a job, but for job seekers with criminal records, it can be way more difficult. As reported recently in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, ex-inmates often spend months, even years, unemployed after they're released from prison. And without a job, those former inmates are more likely to end up back in prison. Wendell Rischke is with us now. He's the executive director of Project Return, a Milwaukee nonprofit that helps ex-inmates adjust to life after prison. Wendell, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, I know you focus on a wide area of things involving reentry to life after prison. Focusing in on jobs, what are some of the main obstacles that former inmates encounter?
There are many different areas in which an individual is lacking when they're getting out of an institution. A lot of individuals don't have the proper education, don't have the proper job skills, don't have the prerequisite work experience. A lot of the individuals that we work with don't have or are feeling so down about themselves or feeling so down about who they are that they don't believe that they can be successful. Finding a job, maintaining a job, maintaining employment. So that's kind of what we're trying to do with it with our clients is to bolster them up, let them know that they can do this, that they can be successful, and then help them with that process of like getting a resume written up, filling out job applications, getting in front of employers, getting that interview so that they can be successful.
Well, those are all huge hurdles you just listed. We'll talk a little more about that in a bit. But one thing that leapt to my mind is maybe discrimination or being weeded out by the employer because of the stigma of being an ex-con.
And there are definitely employers out there that do that. Luckily, in Wisconsin, we do have legislation that protects individuals that makes it that an employer cannot discriminate against somebody unless the job is substantially related to the crime that they've committed. For instance, a bank robber should not be working as a bank teller. We can kind of understand those types of things. Unfortunately, some of those criteria are broadly exercised by employers, and it's very difficult to be able to prove job discrimination or discrimination based on a felony conviction. So that is a huge problem that we're running into. And what's huge about it is that people believe that there are companies out there, people who are returning from incarceration believe that there are companies out there that just kind of paint a broad stroke across everybody that has a felony conviction, and so no employer out there is going to hire me, so I might as well not even try. So that is a very dangerous thing that is in our community as well.
So for someone to make a successful reentry to life outside of prison and not end up back in prison, how important is finding a job?
Employment is very important. It's not the end-all, be-all. There are many facets that will help an individual returning from incarceration maintain sobriety, maintain their freedom, not falling back into prison, not falling back into criminal thinking patterns. But employment, I mean, if you have steady full-time employment, if you have family-sustaining jobs where you're able to pay child support or take care of your family, cover your rent and all that kind of things, it just was a huge headache that you don't have to worry about, that you got that taken care of, and you can start taking care of all these other pieces as well. Unfortunately, what we want to do in Wisconsin, well, in the world, is when it comes to reentry, folks who are dealing with reentry, is we want those individuals to, you know, address one part of their life at a time. And you have all these things that are coming at the individual at once, so they have to holistically take care of themselves. And unfortunately, a lot of times, lack of employment is such a burden that it leads an individual down into substance abuse and leads an individual into committing new crimes and falling back into criminal thinking patterns. So it is a huge, huge issue.
Talking to Wendell Rischke with Project Return in Milwaukee about the challenges many ex-inmates face trying to get a job after they've been in prison. Well, Wendell, you mentioned the lack of job skills and the lack of confidence to get a job. How do you at Project Return help people build those skills, build that confidence?
Well, everything we do is on a one-on-one basis, so it's really working with that particular individual, helping that individual to recognize that they've got worth, that they've got the abilities in the community, and to know how to sell them. So many of the individuals that we're working with, don't believe that they've got the skills, and two, are very ill-prepared to be able to know how to talk the right talk to be able to get the job. So working that individual through mock interviews, helping the individual with resumes, helping the individual understand what it is that employers are looking for and be able to sell themselves in that way. And a lot of individuals, it is just getting their foot in the door. We have a case manager here at Project Return who, when he returned from incarceration, he spent 3 years unemployed. He did not give up on himself. He would do odd jobs working for people, helping to re-roof houses, shoveling sidewalks and stuff. What got him over the hump was a transitional job. And a transitional job is a subsidized employment that you make minimum wage, you get this opportunity to be able to sell yourself for 6 months, and he was placed at Project Return for that 6 months. And after the 6 months, he did such a great job for us that we were able to hire him on full time.
Are there a lot of programs like this offered by the government or community groups that can help in this situation?
There are some. There needs to be more. We are working with a group, MICA and Wisdom, throughout the state of Wisconsin, trying to increase funding for transitional jobs. And it does have some bipartisan support, so we're very hopeful that in this biennial budget that we will get a little bit more money for that, not just in Milwaukee, but statewide. Unfortunately, that it had been larger. The budget for that had been cut, but we're looking to increase that budget again.
Is part of the effort here to recruit businesses, to recruit employers, to be willing to give former inmates a shot?
Definitely. Definitely. They have to be on the front end of the work we're doing. If we don't have employers buying into it, if we don't have employers that believe that folks returning from incarceration add value to our community and can be successful post-release, we're not going to be successful with the reentry efforts we're working towards.
We're talking to Wendell Rischka from Project Return in Milwaukee about the difficulties ex-inmates can face trying to find a job after they're released from prison. And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Have you been part of this story? Have you, or maybe someone you know, spent time in prison? What kind of challenges were there in getting a job afterward? If you're an employer, have you hired former inmates? Would you be willing to? What would it take to convince you to give it a try? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're continuing our conversation now with Wendell Rischka from Project Return, talking about the difficulties ex-inmates face after their release from prison and how hard it is to find a job. You can call in now at 800-642-1234. Have you been in this situation, or maybe someone close to you? What are the obstacles to finding a job after prison? As an employer, have you hired former inmates? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go right to our callers. We've got Adam on the line in Milwaukee. Adam, hi.
Hi. Great conversation. I was just wondering if you could elaborate a little bit more on why your guest thinks that so much of the burden should be on taxpayers in terms of subsidized programs instead of shifting focus and putting the burden on, like, employers to go out and hire these workers.
Adam, thanks for the call. Wendell, it should be more on the employers than on taxpayers to help.
Ideally, we would love to be able to see that. What transitional jobs do and offer is for individuals who have limited to no work experience or who are experiencing major difficulties in entering into the workforce. So it is an incentive program for getting people into jobs and into work environments that they might not otherwise be able to get into. Not saying that the majority of individuals returning from incarceration should go through transitional jobs. In fact, studies have proven that it's not effective for a lot of individuals. But for the right individuals getting into transitional employment, it really is the step that people need to be successful and to remain successful moving forward, that without it, their likelihood of being successful is very, very limited.
And one of the fiscal arguments I've seen here is if former inmates don't get a job, they are more likely to end up back in prison on the taxpayer dime.
Right, yes. And I mean, that's conservatively about $30,000 a year, whereas for transitional employment earning minimum wage, it's significantly less.
Adam, thanks for the call. We'll go next to Ellen with us in Green Bay. Ellen, hi.
Hi. I work in a federal prison camp. I'm a contractor. I work with inmates on a large vermicomposting project, and I've seen just amazing results with these inmates when they're given a chance to really run the system themselves and make the decisions about what happens when and how, and looking at what the weather is and the temperature. They really, really learn how to be responsible and make excellent decisions, and I just hope when they get out they can get jobs because they'd be wonderful, wonderful employees.
Ellen, thanks for that call. That
thing
brings up a couple things, Wendell. The idea that maybe contrary to popular belief, I don't know, ex-inmates have the potential to be good employees.
There are employers that we know of that swear by hiring formerly incarcerated individuals will say that they're the best employees that they've ever had. Loyal workforce, looking for somebody to take a shot on them, looking for somebody that's willing to give them that chance. And when that employer does give them the chance, they're very loyal and stick with the company through thick and thin because they realized that this company took a chance on me, believed in me. I'm not going to leave them in the lurch.
And then this is a program she's talking about in a federal prison camp.
Right.
Is there a lot of job training going on in prisons?
There are vocational training programs in many different institutions across the state of Wisconsin. Unfortunately, they're underfunded as well. They do not have a huge budget to be able to provide for like welding equipment or even training programs or the necessary maintenance programs and things that are training in the prisons. But we do know of individuals who have gone through training programs in the institutions, gotten a job in the institution where they've been able to show their work, and through their experiences and through their trainings and what they've learned while they've been incarcerated, have been able to parlay that job into a very successful job on the outside, which is, you know, launch the individual into being permanent positive members of our community.
We're talking about the prison-to-work transition with Wendell Rischke from Project Return. Back to our callers, Luis is with us next in Lake Geneva. Luis, hi.
How you doing today? Thank you very much for accepting my call. I just wanted to state, just a brief statement, that I'm an individual who you can say was raised through the prison system from a youth from 13 years old, and I'm actually still on extended supervision. But I do want to say that it did take several times in my adulthood. I was caught in that cycle of recidivism, and it was mainly due to my thoughts and how I wanted it the easy way. And I actually believe it's up to the individual, because there is programs and there are ALDA programs. I did the boot camp program, but I still went again one last time. I've been out 8 years now, got a great probation officer, good relationship. And what I do want to say is that it's really up to the individual if they're ready to change or if they hit that point. And another factor that plays into it is the environment that they're released into, because it's easy to go back to what you know, and it's hard to implement what you've learned. You know, so it's worked for me. I'm working for a great company, a subsidiary of Harley-Davidson. We make metal, chroming, nickel, and copper. And my employer gave me an opportunity, and I'm now salary, which I never thought I would make. And I'm able to support my family in a great environment and area, which is Lake Geneva. Beautiful.
Luis, thanks for the call. Congratulations on the job. Wendell, he brings us back to something you mentioned earlier. It's not just vocational training, not just job skills, but really a mindset, a culture change in the mind of the ex-inmate. Can you talk about that a little?
That's exactly right. And I really applaud Luis for everything that he's doing and the way he's moving forward within things. He's exactly right. We can't help somebody that doesn't want to help themselves. If somebody is mired in their criminal thinking patterns, does not want to give up drugs or alcohol abuse, does not want to give up criminal thinking, wants to get the fast money and stuff, you know, they're going to find ways to do that. And unfortunately, any treatment alternative diversionary program is not going to be successful with that individual until they decide that they are not wanting to recede back through the prison system and they want to change their lives. What we're saying here is when an individual wants to change their lives, they should be afforded that opportunity and afforded the programming and the resources to be successful. And that's what we're working on at Project Return and with the 11x15 campaign and MICA and Wisdom and many different organizations throughout Milwaukee and throughout Wisconsin, is helping individuals through that process.
Luis, thanks for the call. Wendell, what would you say to an employer who's feeling maybe hesitant about doing what we're talking about and hiring a former inmate?
What I would say is come to the table with us, let us sit down with you, and maybe not necessarily give you somebody to hire right away, but listen to somebody's story, understand where they're going through, who they are as an individual, and look at them not for the worst thing that they've ever done in their life, which is their felony conviction, but maybe for the potential that they bring to the table. So many of these guys are completely untapped potential and have never really been afforded an opportunity. And when given that opportunity, they just excel and blossom as an individual and as a worker, as an employee, and just as a person and a citizen in our society. We have individuals that we can put in front of you and stuff that have proven that, that are excellent employees. We have employers that can talk about that as well. There are benefits at the state level of work opportunity tax credits and federal bonding if an employer is worried about those types of things. But quite honestly, what you're looking at is you're looking at an untapped potential of resources here, individuals who have the ability to do the job, who are willing to learn, who are willing to show up every day on time and do the job and do it well. They're just looking for that opportunity.
Wendell, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Wendell Ryska. He's Executive Director of Project Return, a Milwaukee nonprofit that helps ex-inmates adjust to life after prison, talking about the difficulties former inmates face in the search for a job.